Okay. Now we're good to go. Okay. All right. Well, I am struggling with a cold, so if I'll try not to start coughing, and I'll try to be clear, but bear with me, because I am struggling a little bit. But like Josie said, I'm going to talk on family traditions today, and I thought what a great time to do that in December, because we're all getting ready for Christmas. So I want you to think back to when you were growing up. What do you remember about your home or your family that you enjoy, that just bring good memories back to your mind? You know, what made your family unique from any other family? When you think back on those memories, what makes them precious to you? Why were they so important? Do you have any heirlooms that maybe you have from past family members that you treasure? And, you know, what makes those special to you? What makes those heirlooms something that are important to you? And as you think about those memories and those traditions that you had as a child, how do they impact you now as you're raising your own children? Now, I know that not everybody had a wonderful home to grow up in with, you know, all these wonderful, warm and fuzzy memories. And, you know, I can say that as I look back on some of my memories of my childhood, I can say that. You know, I grew up in a home with seven kids. I was the youngest of seven children. And if you looked at our home, we looked like a good religious family, okay? We went to church every Sunday. All of us went to private schools. You know, from the outside, our family looked like a very nice, happy family. But on the inside, it was definitely a different story. My dad was an alcoholic, and you know, he was an alcoholic who could function. He would drink every single night, but get up and go to work every single day. And he provided for his family. I mean, think about it. He sent seven kids to private school. So he had a good job. He worked at a steel mill as an electrical engineer downtown, and he allowed my mom to stay home. So there were aspects that were good in our home, but yet, when I think back and I think of the memories, I don't have I can't remember a lot of traditions. And as I'm thinking back, I'm like, wow, I don't think we really did much. And I even had to ask my sister, I'm like, what do you remember about us growing up and the memories that we had? And she says, well, there weren't very many traditions. But then as I'm thinking, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I remember on our birthdays, my mom would make our favorite dinner. I can remember that she would, you know, we didn't have to make our bed on our birthday, which was a big deal. On Thanksgiving, we would pick names out of a basket because we would, pick a name that who we would buy a gift for at Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, we would exchange those gifts. That was a big deal. You know, I love that because I think that was something that, you know, it made us feel like a family. It brought a little bit of closeness in. And so on Christmas Eve, we would exchange those. I remember every year my mom would make Christmas cookies, and I loved that. You know, my mom was a sweet woman, and she tried hard to give us a stable home, even in the midst of all the chaos that would go on in our home. And the few traditions that we had growing up, when my parents died young, they died when they were 50. And so when my parents died, anything that we had as far as traditions, they stopped, and they didn't go anywhere. So I'm sharing a part of my background with you for a purpose. The memories that we make within our home, they follow us. They come with us as we grow into adults. And the wonderful benefit that each of you have here this morning, you're so much farther ahead than my mom was. My mom was trying to keep a family together. She was trying on her own to keep that stable home there. But you know what? Our home is not a Christ-centered home. Our home was not a Christian home. And you know what? I pray that you guys are trying to build a Christ-centered home within your homes today. And that's why I say you're one step ahead of my mom. You guys have Christ. And my mom did not. And I pray that you are building a Christ-centered home. So I'm thankful, as I look back, I was able to raise my children in a Christ-centered home. And I knew when I had my kids that I wanted my home to be different from the home that I grew up in. And so I'm so thankful to the Lord that as my husband and I raised our kids, that we weren't perfect, but we tried very hard to raise our children in a home where Christ was center, and where the things that we did were centered on them understanding that what we do and what we celebrate is because of Christ. And, you know, we as Christian parents, we have an opportunity, but we also have a responsibility to help our children know and understand God in ways that are going to prepare them to believe in Him. And that's very important for us to remember and to think about as we raise our kids. Excuse me, I'm going to have to do this a few times, I think. So I asked you to think about some of your memories and some of your heirlooms that you might have in your home or that are special to you. I have a couple of you know, things that I look back on, you know, I guess you could call them heirlooms that are special to me. I have a roll-top desk, an old roll-top desk in my house, and it's in my office right now, and it would belong to my grandfather, and he was my mom's dad, and he was a sweet man. And he, every time we would go over to my grandparents' house, down in their basement, he had a shop down there, and his that desk was down there. And every time his grandkids came over, he was so happy to see his grandchildren. And he would just love on you, and he just made you feel special. And he was a sweet man, and it was just like how you would picture a grandpa. And so I have it in my house now, and I love that because I have that desk, and it makes me think of him. And another special thing that I have is my wedding ring. I told you that my mom died young. She died when she was 50. And when I was 18 at the time, and she told me when she was sick that she wanted me to have her ring. And I took those, when my husband and I decided to get married, we took the diamonds from her ring and we had them set in a setting that we chose, but we took her ring, her diamonds, and put them in my ring. So my wedding ring is so special to me because of who it's associated with. It makes me think of my mother, just like that roll-top desk makes me think of my grandpa. And another, as I'm working on this teaching and I'm thinking back, I, you know, when fall came, I pulled out a blanket. And it was like a knitted blanket that my grandmother had made. And as I thought back, that was almost 40 years ago that she made that. And I'm so thankful that I have that, that we have things that we treasure, things from our past that we can look back on. And, you know, we have to remember and think about the reason that those things are precious to us, the reason that they're significant and meaningful is because of the people that those memories are attached to. That's what makes them so special. And, you know, I have a few things that my mom's handwriting was on. I have a few recipe cards, and I have a little book that she had written in. And I don't know if any of you have lost anybody special to you, and you see their handwriting. It means something. You love it. It's just so precious to you, and I love that I have some things with my mom's writing on it. And I have some of her recipes, and I have her pie crust. And I love her pie crust. I can think about her rolling out her dough between the wax paper when I was growing up. And I still make that pie crust, and my girls have the recipe, and they make it now, and it's being passed on. And I love it. It brings back good memories. And I think we need to think about that as we're trying to build memories and treasures within our children's hearts and their minds, that we want to do something that's going to last with them. You know, heirlooms and good traditions, they strengthen our sense of family, and they strengthen our sense of belonging. So traditions build memories, right? That's what we're saying. So what is a tradition? Well, and I have it on your paper there, Noelle Piper, who is the wife of John Piper, she defines it three different ways, or has three basic definitions. Number one, a tradition is a planned habit with significance. Number two, tradition is the handing down of information, beliefs, and worldview from one generation to another by the word of mouth and by regular repetition of example, of ceremony, and of celebration. For a Christian, tradition is laying up God's words in our hearts, our own hearts, and passing His words to the next generation. So as we think about traditions and celebrations, if you think about it, the Lord instructed traditions and celebrations and festivals and feasts back in the Old Testament. He told the Israelites to celebrate and remember what He had done for them. He gave instructions for ceremonies that He designed. Oh, an offering plate. Thank you. He gave instructions for the ceremonies that he designed, and he told them to do them repeatedly. He specifically told the Israelites to do them every year as a sign of remembering what he had done for them. And here's just a few of the feasts or festivals that the Lord told the Israelites to do on a annual celebration. The Passover. The Passover celebrates, it's a time for them to remember at the end of the plagues, the last plague, when they were in slaves in Egypt. He told them that they were to take a lamb and kill it, and they were to take that blood and put it over the doorposts of their home. And that plague, that he was going to kill all the firstborn babies, the Israelites' firstborns would be saved. They would be protected if they would paint the blood over the doorposts to protect them. He would pass over those homes. So they were to do that as a remembrance of how the Lord had protected them and saved them. Another feast or festival would be Feast of Unleavened Bread, which also goes with the time when they were able to escape out of Egypt. They left in haste. And so the Feast of Unleavened Bread is connected with the Passover, remembering the quick departure that they had out of Egypt and the hardships that they experienced. Another one would be the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of Booths or the Festival of Booths. This was commemorating God's deliverance, his protection, his provision during their wandering during those 40 years. He specifically told them in the Old Testament, you are to celebrate these things, remember these things, what I have done for you. And so one reason that the Lord instituted these feasts or festivals or celebrations, whatever you want to call them, was so that the Israelites would not forget, okay? They would not forget, but also so their children would know what God had done for them. They had a responsibility to teach their children. They had a responsibility to teach the next generation. And you know, there's various scriptures in the Old Testament where the Lord directs them specifically. And I wanted to just read you some because I think as parents, it's very clear, these scriptures that I'm going to read to you, how the Lord is very clearly talking to parents and how important it is to teach our children. So I wanted to read to you out of Deuteronomy 6, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard this passage before. It's Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 2 says, oh, I got to get my glasses, I'm sorry. The big font's fine, but the small print isn't so easy. Okay, in chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, it says, now this is the commandment that and the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. So this is Moses talking to the Israelites, okay? This is Moses telling them what the Lord wants them to do. That you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and your sons' sons. Do you see what he's saying? He's telling them, I'm telling you this so that you will obey and your son will do this and your son's son will do this. By keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. And then he says in verse 5 to 7, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently. It says, teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And then in verse 20, it says, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So do you see what he's saying? You need to first have it in your heart. You need to embrace and understand what the Lord has done for you. And then you need to teach your children. And your children will ask questions. Why do we do this, Mommy? Why do we celebrate this? And it's so that they understand the greatness and the faithfulness of God. And one more in Psalm 78. It's very clear in Psalm 78. The psalmist is recounting the events of the past, and he's instructing the importance of instructing the next generation. And it says in verse 4 to 7, "We will not hide them, the great things that the Lord has done, from the children, but tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." And what did he do? "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers," so he commanded our fathers to teach their children, "that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children." Do you see that? It's generation to generation to generation. "So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." So it's very clear in those passages that I just read how important it is to the Lord that we embrace what the Lord has done, remember, and then teach our children so that they can teach their children, and that what we do and the traditions and the celebrations and the hope that we have in Christ carries on from one generation to the next. You know, as we think about it, I don't know how long a lot of you have been Christians, but I would probably guess that you have seen in some way in your walk with the Lord the faithfulness of God. And you have seen, and you are learning as you walk this journey of faith, the Lord's faithfulness. You have seen that in times of struggle, he is your strength. You have seen that in time of blessing, your blessings come from the Lord. And you know, our children don't see that. They don't understand that. We have lived a longer life, and we have experienced more with the Lord than our children. And so therefore, we have a history. It might be a short history, it might be a long history with the Lord. But our children don't have that history. They don't have that life experience that we have. And so, just as the scriptures we read, okay, they are telling us, you've seen what the Lord has done. Just like you have seen the faithfulness of God in your own life, you then have to teach it to your children so that they can know and love God. How are they going to embrace Christ if we aren't the ones who are going to teach them and model it before them? So here's the point. We as Christians have a very long, well, or maybe short, but rich heritage. We have a very rich, well, we do have a long heritage in the Lord. I mean, it started back with the Israelites back at the beginning, okay? And we have a very strong heritage that we have been given. And we have that same responsibilities that were given to the Israelites by Moses. We have that same responsibility to teach our children, just as that first generation did. So we do this as we live out the pattern in our lives every day. You know, we teach them through yearly traditions, and, you know, we teach them through the every day. So we can break down traditions. I broke it down into maybe two categories, you could say, separated into two categories. We have everyday traditions and we have special day traditions. So what is an everyday tradition? Everyday traditions are those purposeful, significant activities that we do with our kids on a regular basis. It might be daily, it might be weekly, it might be monthly, okay, but they're intentional. And sometimes they're even unintentional just because of the way we live our life out. So your everyday traditions are what you're teaching your children in the everyday of life. I'm sorry, he's smiling at me. So learning to make God a natural part of our conversations with our kids, okay? Everyday traditions can be specific activities, or they can just be the sweet conversations that we have. You know, back in September, I taught on prayer. If you were here, we taught on prayer, and you went home with a prayer box. And I encourage you to use that with your family. That can be something that can become part of an everyday tradition. It can be something that, you know, it gives you an opportunity with your kids to talk about struggles, to talk about the needs of other people, to talk about the needs and the struggles that they're dealing with, and then you pray together. That can be part of a family devotion. Okay, so what, you know, you want your kids, when they look back on their childhood, to remember that God was a natural part of their growing up years. That in their home, it was just natural to talk about God, to pray, to just, when they had a struggle, you talked to them and you brought them back. You brought them back to, well, what does God teach us about this? What is God teaching you through this? So we want to form patterns in the everyday of what we're doing with our kids. You know, when you look back at what Noelle Piper said, she said that she called the tradition a planned habit with significance. That's what we're doing in the everyday. It's a planned habit. It could be in the conversations. It could be through prayer. It could be through just simple family devotions. Now, I know some people get stressed out and hung up on the word family devotion, but you know, you don't have to. It's being purposeful about your teaching and reading of the Word of God. That's what it is. And today, ladies, you have so much and so many materials before you that I could say us older ladies here, we did not have raising our children. We did not have the books that you have now. We did not have the internet. We did not have a lot of this stuff. And so you guys are ahead of the game, and there's so many creative ways that you can teach your kids. I wanted to encourage you by giving you, since it's Christmas, we wanted to give a couple gifts away today. But, you know, there's so many devotional books out, and I have a couple up here from our resource center. Everything a Child Should Know About God. I have one called Theology, and if you come to our church, you know that our pastor has mentioned this book before. There's some other great books, and I'm sure if you ask some of these ladies here, they could recommend some. And the Jesus Storybook, we have two that we want to give away. And I know a lot of people have them, but we're going to pick two names out of people that are here today. And you could have two choices. You can keep it, and if you already have it, you can give it away as a Christmas present, or you could give it to somebody here who doesn't have it. Or you can put your name back in, and you might win the next little gift that we're going to give away. So I'll pick two names. Lisa, would you want to pick one?
Kristen Wells.
Kristen. Yay!
Do you have the book? Do you have the book?
This book, I do. But
oh, good. Great. Okay. Here, do you want to pick a name?
Roxana.
Lexi. Do you have it? Yeah. Well, congratulations, Roxy.
Yeah.
You could give it away as a gift. A lot of people have this book. But it could be coming back to the everyday and the devotions that you have in your family. It could be as simple as taking the time to read a story out of that book and bringing them back to the Word of God. I know when I first met my daughter-in-law, I was impressed by her dad, because your dad would just read the Bible with the family every night, wouldn't he? Mm-hmm. I mean, he would just get out the Bible, mm-hmm. and he would just read with them. And then you would have a little discussion after and pray. It could be as simple as that. But he was devoted to doing that with the family every night. And if they had somebody over, they invited them to stay and be part of it. I love that. I thought that was so cool when I met her and I realized that her dad did that. And it wasn't any big thing. Your devotions, don't overthink them. It can be very simple. But I want to also, as we're talking about traditions and building memories, you know, we don't have to think that every single thing we do has to be spiritual. It's good, but it doesn't have to be. You know, you have to get real legalistic and get all caught up in it. I mean, we're talking about making memories with our children that they'll remember that our family was unique, our family was special, and we had a fun home growing up. We had a home that was nurturing and that was loving. And, you know, that can be done through fun activities that we do. We can have, I know we did some family movie nights when our kids were little. We would, on a Friday night, we would watch a movie and maybe order a pizza, and then they loved it when we put a big blanket on the ground and you would just start a movie and make some popcorn. I mean, that was fun. That's not a big deal. It doesn't cost a lot of money, but it's building the memories within your kids. Bedtime routines. If you have that same bedtime routine, your kids are going to remember that. My mom always used to read a book to me or read a chapter out of a book. She used to pray with me before we went to bed. It's those significant things that make the difference. How about even planning a special meal every once in a while? They'll remember that. They'll think back, oh, I remember when my mom would set a fancy table and we would have a meal just because. Or what about a time out with dad? I know that some people like to do a date night with their dad, and it was just the child with their dad. And I don't know, did anybody ever do that in this room? I mean, was it a special memory? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you remember that. It makes you feel special as a child, and it sets apart that time with just you and your dad. And that's special. What about going to church? I think going to church is foundational in a home. And going to church faithfully. You're teaching your children that church is a high priority when you're in church every Sunday. This is something that needs to be modeled in your children. You want to raise them so that they have the desire to want to learn about God and go to church and learn about God and serve Him there. And if you're sporadic in your attendance, what are you modeling before them? What are they going to remember about how important church is? So I really think that we need to remember that our children are watching us, and we want to build a solid foundation for them in their walk with the Lord. Now, I know that you guys are probably thinking about some fun things that you did in your homes, and at the end, I'm going to open it up, and I want you guys to share some of your ideas. And I think it'd be fun to just brainstorm. I know over the years at our table, we've had girls, they would share things that they would do on the holidays, and I would be like, oh, I wish that I would have thought of that. So I'm hoping at the end of the morning that when we share, that you guys will have some things to share and that you guys will be able to take some notes and maybe implement some things in your own family. So let's move on to special day traditions, which would be more the holidays. So special day traditions are those traditions that are celebrated on special days, such as birthdays, anniversaries, holidays. We know that annual celebrations are important because God, He Himself, appointed special days that should be celebrated once a year and set aside, just like I read to you earlier. And so we celebrate things annually. We have birthday celebrations, and birthdays are days where we look back and celebrate a birth. An anniversary looks back and celebrates a wedding day. Christmas looks back and celebrates the birth of Christ. Easter looks back at the death and resurrection of Christ. We celebrate Easter because He has risen. And Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving can be a time to share the Lord's faithfulness over the last year and reflect back on what we are thankful for. As we celebrate these special days and many more throughout the year, it's a time to look back and remember what God has done for us. These are great times to teach our children. So as we think about birthdays and anniversaries and holidays, how do we teach that God is at the heart of these celebrations? Can we still honor God when we're putting so much attention on the people that we're celebrating? What about birthdays and anniversaries? Well, we have to remember that the Lord is the foundation of our celebrations. He is the giver of life, and He is the source of our joy. That is where our focus needs to be. We are blessed because the Lord has blessed us. God is the reason we have anything to celebrate. In James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." We need to understand that God is the giver. Every person in our life whom we celebrate is a gift from God. We have a reason to celebrate, and we have an opportunity to thank Him. On your paper there, I have a quote from Noel Piper regarding birthdays, and I loved it, and it struck me. That's why I put it on your paper. I'll read it to you. It says, "How would a birthday celebration change if we looked at our birthday person and imagined God's hand knitting him or her together? If we thought of his or her unabridged story written in God's book, if we remember that this day was chosen by God specifically for this person, at the least we would speak our personal thanks to God and lift our praising hearts to Him. Then we might try to plan a time to pray with and for the birthday person, especially thanking God for him or her and asking God's blessing, recognizing that each of the person's days are written in God's book. Isn't that good? It kind of puts a different perspective on how you would view a birthday. And I love that. I love that. So a birthday is one day out of the year that is set aside especially for that person. It's a special day that we celebrate their life. I have a memory from when my kids were little, when it was my daughter's birthday, and probably I've shared this, I think, with Amy and my sister. She was probably there. It was my daughter's birthday, and my kids were young, and my mother-in-law came over to celebrate Becca's birthday, and she brought a gift for Becca, but she also brought a gift for Nathan. And it's like, okay, well, why does Nathan get a gift today? And she didn't want to make him feel bad, so she brought him a gift too. I thought that was ridiculous. I don't think that both children need to get a gift. We need to help our children understand that this is the day that we celebrate the birthday person. It's their special day. My son needed to celebrate with his sister, okay, and share in her joy and in what gifts were given to her. The focus isn't on him that day, it was on her. And, you know, we need to remember a birthday is a day when we shower the birthday person with love. And there's so many ways to do that. And this is where I'm hoping you guys will share some of your ideas. You know, you can make their favorite meal. Like my mom, I still do that. I was like, oh, I still make their favorite meal. And when they were at home, I would tell them, you don't have to make your bed. So I like carried on those simple traditions that I had when I was growing up. But they love it. I would always ask them, what do you want for dinner? I still do that. When they come over, what do you want to have for dinner? You know, you make them a special cake or their special dessert. You know, I know some people might buy a special balloon and tie it to their chair at the table. We had a special birthday plate. It says happy birthday on it. And some of them say you are special today. And, you know, those are fun things to use. And those special plates can be used anytime. They don't have to be used just for birthdays. And we have three today that we want to give away. They say you're special. So we're going to pick three more names, and you might win the plate. And what's fun about this is I kind of like this better than it says happy birthday on it, because you can use this at other times of the year. I mean, if you want to just say something happens at school and you want to just, you know, celebrate with a nice dinner or something, you can set the table and you can, you know, you're honoring that person that day. So we'll pick three more names. How about you want to pick one?
Two. Emily Booth.
Emily.
Oh. Yay.
You want to pick one?
Sure. Sarah Sivka.
All right, Sarah. Here you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You want to pick a name?
Lisa Timperio.
Right, Lisa. You girls might be using this a lot.
Okay, so that's just some fun stuff for birthdays. You know, what about anniversaries? You know, marriage was designed by God, and it was designed to be celebrated on anniversaries. You know, wedding anniversaries are a great time to remember your wedding day. It's a great time to tell your kids about your story, your little love story that you had with your husband before you got married, and how you fell in love. It's an important time in your busy lives to slow down and celebrate with a special dinner. And sometimes this is another time where you're modeling to your children, where they know when it's mommy and daddy's anniversary that either they see you celebrate by going out to dinner, the two of you, and, you know, it's good for your children to know that you're not coming with us because we love each other and we love you, and so you're staying home and we're going out. And there's nothing wrong with that. And they need to understand that your marriage, it's going back to the promise that you made before God, And it's a covenant that you made, and they need to understand that. And it's a promise that you guys made that they that brings them security and stability, knowing that mommy and daddy love each other and they're going to go out to dinner, and I'm not. And, you know, here's an idea, okay? Consider maybe anniversary or Valentine's Day. Let's say it falls in the middle of the week and you really can't get away. You can't go out. Maybe you're going to go out on the weekend, but you're home. Well, why don't you celebrate as a family then? Maybe it's on a Wednesday and you're going out on Saturday. You're going out with your husband alone on Saturday night, but your anniversary or Valentine's Day or whatever falls on a Wednesday. Why don't you set a fancy table, make a special dinner that your husband chooses or would enjoy, and you celebrate as a family, but they understand that this is a special occasion because we're celebrating our wedding anniversary. And they love to be part of a special table setting. You know, I know that a fun thing would even be to, at the party store, they sell the long stem plastic ware, the plastic, champagne glasses. And I mean, when they're old enough, I'm not talking about a 2 or 3 year old, but when they get a little older and they can, you know they're not gonna, well, we can't guarantee there won't be any spills, but the chances get better as they get older. But you set a fancy table and you have that champagne, that plastic champagne glass, and you, even if you put water in it, they think it's so fun. And you're setting that time apart, and they're going to remember that. Oh, I remember when we used to do this. You're building memories, you're building traditions, and it's a time to celebrate with a special meal as a family. But then you do take that time to celebrate alone with your husband. It just might not be able to be that time, but if you can't get away, then you celebrate with the kids and let them know that this is special. And you know, just about everything that our kids see us do, they're soaking up that basic understanding of marriage when it's modeled before them. Thanksgiving passed just a couple weeks ago, right? What did your family do? What are the traditions that were part of your day that day? Was it turkey and football? Are those things wrong? No. Sometimes those are great memories that you might think back on, celebrating, you know, football games and just being together with the family. Those are great. We want to be purposeful in that time, though, to teach our children and to verbalize how God has blessed us this past year, what we're thankful for. You know, remembering his goodness, teaching our children that God is good and he blesses us with all that we have. Think back on the year, talk with your kids and talk about how has God been good to us this year? What has he done for us? There's so many ways that you could bring traditions into Thanksgiving. You could go to the library and you could get books on, you know, the heritage of Thanksgiving, the history of it. Go around the table, have everybody, you know, say something that they're thankful for. Make a thankfulness tree. Make little leaves and they can write what they're thankful for and hang them on the tree. There's all kinds of ideas. Another one is Christmas, and Christmas is just a couple weeks away. And, you know, how do parents keep Christ at the center of Christmas time? It's hard, isn't it, with all that's around you, with the excitement of the decorations and the gifts and Santa and everything. It can be hard. As I was thinking back, I was doing a lot of reflecting when I was doing this, and I was thinking back to when I was a kid. And I remember the big thing was the JCPenney Christmas catalog. I don't know if any of you remember that, but that was a big deal. It would come in the mail, or we would pick it up at the store, and we would love flipping through that and circle, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. It was a lot of fun. And we looked forward to it every year, that the JCPenney Christmas catalog was coming out. But, you know, that's something that you remember. My family, we would always go to church because we were that good religious family. Sometimes it would be midnight mass, which was kind of rough. I didn't really care for that. But, you know, we would do those things. I knew that Christmas was about the birth of Jesus. I knew that. And, you know, I loved that Santa was coming too. And I loved all that we were getting all those gifts. Now, as I stated earlier, I come from a big family. Okay, 7 kids. And my dad, like I said, he provided well for us, but they did limit the amount of presents that we would get. And as I recall, it was like 2 presents that we would get. And I have to say that honestly, I loved it. I loved getting my two gifts, and I was happy with that. And you know what? I didn't know any different. I knew no different. Did you? No. It was just, that's just how it was. So I can remember the first time that I went to my husband's house for Christmas. Now, we were high school sweethearts. She's laughing because she knows. We were high school sweethearts, and I was probably about 16 the first time I went there. Now, I came from seven kids in my family. My husband had one brother, okay? And his parents were kind of like the indulging type parents. So I can remember the first time I went there, there were so many presents under the tree. I was overwhelmed. We had a lot of presents at our house, but they weren't all for us. They were for nine people, you know? It was different. And I was very overwhelmed. But as I think back on that, I was content with little, and I didn't even know I had little. And that was just our life. That was just what we knew. So, you know, contentment can come by what we teach our children. We don't have to give in to all of these gifts and feeling like we just have to shower them with all these things. It's what we make important is what will be important to them. You know, gifts are fun and they're exciting, but, you know, we have to remember these little ones, they, first of all, they're little selfish, sinful little creatures, and you know, it's more, and it can be too much for them to even handle sometimes. And you know, gifts can be a distraction for the real reason for Christmas, which is celebrating the birth of our Savior. So how do we combat gifts and, you know, the worldly distractions that come with the season? You have to be intentional, okay? Intentional in what you are focusing on in your home. You have to remember that you keep your celebration centered on Christ. Since we're celebrating the birth of Christ, why don't we celebrate with celebrating his birthday and make him a birthday cake? On your underneath your handout there, I gave you a copy of a birthday cake for Jesus. And I love how this is written out. We did one when our kids were younger, but when I found this one, because I couldn't find the original of what we did, this is very similar to the way we did it, but I love it because it presents the gospel. As you're decorating the cake, you're walking through the gospel with your kids. And then also, as you're lighting the candles and singing, then when you're slicing the cake and they see the symbolism, everything on the cake is a symbol of the gospel and of the love of Christ. And so as you're decorating the cake and as you're cutting it and serving it, you have the opportunity again to talk through the gospel. And what a great thing that would be. You're intentional in what you're bringing into your home and what you're teaching your children. So the elephant in the room, what do we do about Santa? Well, I'm not going to tell you yes or no. I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but I'm not going to say yes, Santa's okay, no, Santa's forbidden. That is a decision that I believe you need to make within your home. You know, I don't have anything against that jolly old man in the red suit with the white beard. It's great. He's a lot of fun. Kids are drawn to him, and it's fun. It's something that they love to, you know, think about it. He comes down the chimney. He has a reindeer sleigh that flies. It's a fairy tale. It really is. It's a fairy tale. It's fun. But can Santa be a distraction to the real meaning of Christmas? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? A lot of times most of the time Santa will win out over Jesus in a manger. And so we need to be intentional in what we bring into our home. You know, fairy tales are fun, but do we ask our children to believe in the fairy tales that we read them in the books? No. Santa, if you think about it, his character is a lot like God's character. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. Okay, who else does that sound like? That sounds like God, right? God alone has those character traits. So it's something that we need to think about, okay? So it's fun to pretend. And, you know, you couldn't keep Santa, I really don't think you could keep Santa out if you tried, because it's everywhere. But I think the question is, how much will you let him in? How much will you let him in? We don't want anything to distract our children from the wonder of the King, from that baby in a manger who came down from heaven to earth to be born as a baby so that one day he would die on a cross for our sins. That is the most important thing, and we need to be intentional. So I'm just going to leave it there, and you can ponder Santa, and you can ponder the Easter Bunny, and we'll just leave it there. So going back to Christmas, Advent is what we call the season around Christmas, okay? It begins 4 Sundays before December 25th, and the word Advent means arrival or coming. The Advent season celebrates the first Advent, which is the arrival of Jesus Christ as a baby. And, you know, a lot of times people will celebrate Advent with a wreath. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the Advent wreaths. It's 4 candles, and the 4 candles, one's lit every Sunday, one each Sunday before Christmas. And the candles represent the light of God reaching the world through the birth of Christ. And then in the center, many times they put a 5th candle, and that represents the Savior, and that would be lit because he is the center of God's plan, the Savior, he's in the center, that would be lit on Christmas Day. Now, little children, sometimes an Advent wreath could be a little bit hard for them to grasp, so some people would even take out that middle candle, that 5th candle, and put a small nativity scene in there so that it's more concrete for them to understand. So, you know, that's just one way of celebrating Advent, but Advent is the celebration and the coming. We are celebrating that time of coming of Christ, which will arrive on Christmas Day. So, to me, the Advent wreath can seem a little bit abstract for the kids. When my kids were young, we did something called the waiting tree. And the waiting tree was a big green felt tree that we put on our refrigerator. And every day, starting on December 1st till the 25th, we would read a little devotional, a little reading from the Bible that would take us from the beginning to the birth of Christ. And every day we would read a devotional, and they would put a symbol up on the tree. And we called it the waiting tree, okay? Now, have any of you heard of a Jesse tree? Okay, a Jesse tree is basically the same idea. And a Jesse tree is a decorative tree that you use during Advent, and you retell the stories in the Bible that lead up to the birth of Christ. The book of Isaiah is where the idea, they say, came from. And Isaiah 11:1 says, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow up from his roots." Now, Jesse was the father of David, and David was Israel's greatest king. And it was from David's lineage that Christ was born. So, a Jesse tree starts in Genesis 1, okay, at the creation, and it will work its way through the Old Testament to the birth of Christ, and it will show you the lineage of the line of Christ from creation through the birth. And there's many versions of the Jesse tree. I love the idea because it pulls the Bible together. It brings it all together as one big story, and I just think it's a great way to teach kids. You know, as I was preparing this teaching, I was doing a lot of reading on the Jesse tree, and I thought, wow, like it made me remember, well, when the kids were little, we did our waiting tree, but I thought, I want to do that. So I made a Jesse tree. I'm an empty nester and I'm a grandma, but why can't my husband and I do a Jesse tree? So what I did is I just bought a little tree, and I have ornaments that I made. Actually, I found these online from another woman that is doing a Jesse tree, and I didn't care for her book, so I didn't buy the book. I'm just using the ornaments. They were free online. But this is my first year doing the Jesse tree, so I have my ornaments on here. And every day, my husband and I are adding an ornament. We're doing a devotional. And I want to I want to recommend, I did some research on Jesse Tree and devotionals, and this is a great book. It's called The Advent Jesse Tree, and actually in this, it tells you all of the symbols that you would want to use in your Jesse Tree, and the 25 of them, and it has a devotional for children, but then it also has a devotional for adults. And what's neat about it, it gives you certain scriptures to read, and then it gives you just a little one-paragraph devotion and a prayer afterwards. And it's specifically broken down for children and for adults. So, you know, my husband and I are doing the adults, and so far we really like it, and I love how she's pulling different scriptures out in that one day of your reading. So this is what we're doing at my house. But it's fun. I mean, it's a fun thing, and it keeps you focused. Like, again, you're being intentional on what you're doing. So the other thing that is a fun idea is they say you could buy a tree like this. You could use it at Christmas for a Jesse tree, and then at Easter you could use it as a resurrection tree and do the same idea. And believe me, I've come a long way. I like Pinterest. I get a lot of ideas off of Pinterest. And they have ideas for the resurrection tree on Pinterest. And then also at Thanksgiving, you could use this as a thankfulness tree. And you could make little leaves or little cards, and you can hang it on there. So you could basically have this up all year and then just change out your ornaments that you put on your tree.
Mary, tell them where you got your tree.
Where I got my tree? Oh, I got a good deal. And I want you to know, I showed Angela McDonough. I go, Angela, you are going to be so proud of me. Wait till you see my blingy tree I bought. Because Angela's all about bling. And she was very proud of me. But I got this on Black Friday at Michael's, half off, no shipping, $13. Thank you. So it doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, even after Christmas, it would probably be dirt cheap. But this is stuff they sell all year. I mean, they sell these trees with the lights. They're in now. So, but as I thought, oh, and one other thing I wanted to tell you is, you know, the Jesse tree is a great idea. And we talked about the Jesus storybook. And the Jesus storybook has an Advent calendar and daily readings that would follow along from December 1st to the birth of Christ. They have an actual Advent calendar that you could follow, and you could do readings from the Jesus storybook. And actually, Mandy, she gave me a copy of one that she had printed out. But I think I put on your paper there, when I went online, I found it. See here, they have pictures, and then on the back it'll tell you the scripture, and then read along the Jesus storybook, and it'll tell you what story and what page to do with your kids, which that's a great idea to bring it down. And they're saying they give you these pictures because if you wanted to cut it out and make them into ornaments, and you could hang them on a tree, you could do whatever you want. I mean, the idea is just to keep the focus on Christ. And every day, kids get excited about Christmas. What a great thing to have it focused every day to Christmas Day, focused on Christ. So I have on there, this is what I found. I know, Mandy, you said you found it on Facebook,
Sarah,
right?
Or Sarah.
And if you go on that Faith, I think it's Faith something. Faith Gateway. I found it on there, and you can download all of it too. Same thing. But as I thought about your little preschoolers, okay, the Jesse tree is a big concept for them to understand. And so I wanted to bring it down to a 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old level, because that's, I mean, I know some of you have older children, but these little ones, it needs to, they're visual and they're concrete thinkers. And so it's hard for them to understand all that lineage of, you know, David, and it's a lot. So I found a simpler idea, which is this, which is what you guys are going to go home with today. And it's called the 12 Days Celebrating the Nativity. And it's a little flannel with the Velcro on the back. And what you're basically doing with them is, what this does at a preschool level is it breaks it down. Every day you add one character of the nativity onto the manger. And so what you will do is you will take your, everybody will get one of these, and I want you to know this one, This was a labor of love, ladies. So we had to be very creative in how it all came together. And look at this. It all will, it will store nicely. Oh, thank you. And I have to say, to put all this together, I have to thank my family. I have to thank Amy, Kathy, Roxy, my husband, my son, my daughter. I mean, it was a group effort to prep this. But I hope that you guys will use it. But what you do is, let me read to you. I want you to know I found this on Pinterest. So it's called the 12 Days of Christmas Celebrating the Nativity. It says it's the 12th day before Christmas, and we are focusing on what is true, a daily reminder of the season that may brighten it just for you. Each day there will be something to point your heart to the reason why we celebrate Christmas time and why it's a special season. So open one envelope each day. Don't peek, that won't be fun, and together we can rejoice in the coming of the sun. So every day they will open up an envelope, and they're marked. This is number 12. But you're going to be finishing these crafts, so I'm going to tell you what you have to do. But you pull out a card, and it has a little saying about the little character that you're going to put on there. This happens to be one of the three kings. And then you have your character, which actually is not in the envelope. He's on here now. Then you pull out your little character, and you put it on there. The idea, I want to ask you, how many of you have a nativity in your house? How many of you let your kids play with your nativity? Okay. If it's a kid's version, yes. If it's a nice one, you usually don't let your kids play with it. So the idea was to have an interactive nativity that your children can handle and play with and learn at the same time. Okay? So I think that's everything. When you guys, I want to open it up for discussion. I want to get some ideas from you guys on some traditions that you have with the everyday or with the special days. And I'm going to explain before we start what you guys have to do. So after we take our break, then you guys can come up, and everybody gets a little manger, and then there are sets of characters. You're going to take a set of characters, and there's Velcro. You're going to take Velcro, and you're going to put Velcro on the back of each character, and then you're going to each have a set. And so on the back of the bigger card, I have the 12 days of Christmas, 1 through 12, and it'll tell you the donkey, Joseph, Mary, and then, so that's the order, like day one. The way that I set it up was I set it up through going through Luke and, you know, the story of Luke and kind of, you know, how it went in the Bible. So that's how I set it up. So Jesus does not come on Christmas Day. He's in the story, he comes much earlier than that. He actually is on day four. this is how you're going to put your people in the envelopes, and then you're going to label your envelopes 1 through 12 like I did here, so that you'll know when you're working with your kids which day you use it. Okay? And if you have questions, any one of my sweet family members could help you too. So,
12 days.
Yes, you start 12 days before. No. And that was the one thing I like, too, is the Jesse tree, we're already late. We're on December 8th already, so the Jesse tree, you're already behind, where this doesn't even start until the 14th, I think, is what I figured, the 14th. So you can, the 14th, if you do one on Christmas Day. So you're not behind. You have a couple days, and it'll all be ready. You're going to leave here, and it's going to be ready to use. So, so that's it, and I would love to open it up to hear some of your ideas on, you know, what you guys did growing up, what you're doing now with your kids. I know you guys are creative in here.
This is my thing, but Becca, you guys have a little book. Is it like a gratitude journal that your family does?
Yeah,
is that what
a thankful journal that sits on our... a thankfulness journal that sits on one of our tables. And there's no rhyme, you know, you can write in it whenever you want. So if the kids are thinking of something, it's a work in progress. We're encouraging the kids to use it. But then every so often we'll open it and look at it and, you know, it's dated and
That's
who
neat.
Wrote it and what they wrote. And we try not to repeat what we've written. So, you know, I have a 5-year-old, so we're thankful for God and his creation a lot. You know, we kind of limit, like, that kind of thing. But just little things like, for example, my grandmother passed away. I got her extra refrigerator because we have a really small kitchen and a really small fridge. And I'm thankful to God every day when I put extra groceries in and I have an extra fridge. So little things like that, you know, thankful for heat in our house, thankful for clothes, you know, things that are tangible for the kids to be thankful for.
That's neat. And that's out all year.
It just sits out.
That's neat. That's really neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like that because it was not super structured, but it's something you can be doing throughout the year.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
So yeah.
Just gotta steal that.
I think it's important to not put heavy expectations on yourself, especially at this season of life. You have to think, what is reasonable for me in this season? And maybe in 5 years from now, I can implement something else. You keep it simple. I mean, it might be on a birthday that you buy a balloon and you make a cake, and that's it. And you know what? They're going to remember that, and they're still going to feel like, yay, it's my birthday. You know, it doesn't matter. I think you said that you have a banner, right, that you put up on birthdays?
The banner that I got at the dollar spot at Target. And it's a felt pennant banner with felt letters that you put on it. So, like, I didn't cut anything out, not one thing. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I just bought an extra set of letters so you can flip everything over. One side says happy birthday. And eventually I'll do, like, congratulations or good job or something. Mm-hmm. So far it's just the happy birthday banner. And I tape it up above the window in our dining room for birthdays, and whatever kid is having a birthday, they get a birthday balloon from Dollar Tree, because it's dollar. That is about my speed, and then we do, like, birthday supper, and I didn't think of not making bed, but that would be a pretty popular one.
Oh, they like that one. They like that one.
Yeah, that would be pretty good.
On birthdays in our house, we tape streamers on the outside of the kids' door frame.
Oh, that's fun.
So then when they come out in the morning, they go through the streamers, and then they're allowed to keep them up for as long as they want to. So my 2-year-old this year, when he turned 2, every day he pulled one down, and we got letters up for, like, 7 months last year, but you get your streamers on your birthday, and it takes
that's
you
fun.
5 minutes the night when they're in bed at night, so that way it appears.
Yeah. Really yeah.
We do that too, and what we've done as they've gotten older is barricaded them in their room.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, they probably
love
that. Or do it,
like,
that.
In the hallway, or
that's really cute.
Or we've done it with the balloons. Like, we put a bunch of balloons in, and so we stick them in the. It's not. It doesn't take that long, but I mean, you do have to think about it. You know, blowing up until like 10 o'clock. Oh yes, but that's fun because they walk out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've just started doing that in the past few years too, and they asked me for my birthday. Are you going to have a balloon attack on your phone?
How do you get there and slam the door?
Just mentioned that my sister made this for me for Christmas last year, and I just shared this actually with Babette and some of the women from our Bible study. But my sister made this, and you know the whole thing with the elf on the shelf, and I cut hair, so I have clients coming all the time. They're like, "Do you do the elf on the shelf?" And I'm always feeling like a Debbie Downer. I'm like, "No, I don't want to do the elf on the shelf because it's creepy." But you know, and the kids know we. And this is an angel. Tracy made it, and obviously you don't have to have a handmade angel, but you can find like a little stuffed animal. This is Joy. We named her Joy. And she brings little scrolls of scripture leading up to the.
Oh, that's cute.
So that was cute. And then we don't have. I mean, not that I don't want it to sound like I'm judging.